This is CliffCentral.com.
How happy is that? That's a nice song for a Wednesday heading up to Christmas.
It really was, Gareth, until Sia started singing it.
I know what you're hinting at, Ben.
He just sang over it during the whole break.
No, but I know what you're hinting at. I think you are asking for us to play Sia's song. Because we did get a request.
That's incredible. That is the exact opposite of what I wanted.
Oh, really? Okay, so that wasn't what you were looking for. So, no, yesterday we got a call from someone who said they want to hear a remix of Sia's song. They're that excited by it. So here's just the original, and maybe in 2019 you'll be lucky enough to get a remix. He actually performed this live for us in the office the other day. It was very, very average.
I performed this live. Standing there, and I thought, my, you were the one for me. I was the one for you. My heart was never the same. It's you, it's true. It's you. Yeah, it's you, it's true. It's you. Yeah, yeah, it's you, it's true. It's you.
It is catchy as hell because, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, it really is embarrassing. It gets stuck in your head and you just cannot get away from it, right?
I don't think Ben was quite grateful for that performance.
No, I don't think so either.
Ben, didn't why really don't you love it. Only you? All I need for another day.
It's because you sing it.
Just stop.
All right.
Is that it?
I'm going to start my own Me Too movement, the way you're harassing me with your vocal cords.
Okay, well, we're going to talk this morning because we're getting up to Christmas. It's really not just about us and indulging ourselves and making it all about, you know, our family and friends and kind of looking to ourselves and eating and drinking and partying and being merry. It's also about the people who are less fortunate this time of year. And I make a point every year of going to the Headway Christmas party. I feel very bad because this year I wasn't able to go. I was away. But if you're a frequent listener to our show, you will know how much we love and support Headway Gauteng, which is, of course, a registered charity organization. They're dedicated to offering various support programs to adult survivors of brain injury, as well as support services to their families. The organization does really, really good work, especially at this time of year, as sadly the number of accidents and injuries increase. Now, just as a reminder, and perhaps to find out about what ways you could begin to support them, we have Bianca Berger, who's the general manager of Headway Gauteng. She's going to join us on the line. I'd like to just welcome her to the show, as always. Bianca, it's very nice to talk to you, and you know what a special place in my heart Headway always has. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it to your Christmas party. I feel very bad about that.
We'll forgive you this time, Gareth.
Thank you. Thank goodness. So, first of all, a lot of people this time of year, they're enjoying themselves, they're having fun, they're not really thinking about the hard work that goes on at places like Headway Gauteng. But the real problem is that at this time of year, people have accidents and people have brain injuries, and this is precisely when you guys are sometimes at your busiest.
Well, yeah, I think it's, there's sometimes a little bit of a delay in that it usually takes a couple of weeks for people to hear about Headway before they actually make contact with us. So under normal, sort of generally speaking, we're quiet at this time, but come beginning of January, we're getting tons and tons of call coming through.
Sure. It can't be easy to deal with, especially for the people who've obviously been involved. But how do people normally find out about you? Is it through other people who've come to Headway?
More often than not, that is the case. Just through word of mouth. We've always worked under on the understanding that you don't really want to know about brain injury, and you only really know about brain injury once it's happened to you or someone really close to you. So the majority of the referrals come from the therapist that we work closely with. And through word of mouth, because it's happening all the time.
I would imagine that support is something you can always do with more of, right? I mean, it's not as if you ever go, okay, well, here we are, we've got enough money now. And some of the time, exactly the opposite is true, is that you actually are in dire straits a lot of the time because you rely on public charity, effectively. You rely on public funding. You rely on one or two individuals who are kind enough to donate money to you. You don't get government money. And if you do, it's inconsistent, and it might have been rare once or twice that this happened. So you really need all the help you can get.
Well, of course. It would be a great problem to have, to say, well, now what? You know, we've got enough money to make ends meet. But yeah, I think, you know, we've relied very heavily on the kindness and goodwill of others, whether it be through monetary donations or services in kind. We really can't do it alone, and we need support of volunteers, we need support of individuals, and companies, organizations, anybody willing to lend a hand.
Bianca, how can people help? I mean, can you give us some detail right now that we could actually get on a website? Is there a number we can call? Is there an account? I mean, like, give us the easiest way to do this.
Sure. Look, money in the bank is always first prize, I think, for most charities,
sure.
Because there are overheads that need to be covered.
Of course.
But we can also appreciate that not a lot of people are wanting just to make that sort of handout. But in terms of our bank account, I'm happy to share our details. And no donation is too small. In fact, that's been our saving grace over the years, been those little donations that all add up to something good. So we bank with Absa Bank. And,
well, I think rather than giving out those numbers, because no one's going to write them down. Yeah, we'll put them on our website, but give us the detail, the best contact details we could use.
Well, either to connect us through our website or through our Facebook page. Those are probably the two easiest. We've got a donate button on our Facebook page, and we've got the donate button on our website as well.
All right. So, in other words, the Facebook page or on the Headway Gauteng website, and you can look that up fairly easily. That's not very difficult to do.
Yeah.
And
then, Gareth, sorry, if I can just also make mention, we're really going to need plenty of helping hands come the new year when Headway opens up and we start with our group therapy program again. So if anybody is willing or able to donate a couple of hours a week, we could really use those helping hands.
Oh, absolutely. And having been there so many times and having met so many of the people, I can honestly say that what you guys do is just extraordinary. It's exceptional. You look after so many people, you change lives, you improve the quality of life of people who might otherwise have had to give up on the life that they had before. And they can never go back, but you can help them make it tolerable. You can sometimes help them make it, a life which approximates something to what they had before. And you've helped so many people already that it stands to reason that you guys are the first place, the first port of call for so many people who find themselves in these situations.
Well, thanks for that. Sure. I think, yeah, it's very much about figuring out a new way of living. And it's also very much a team effort. So, I think, you know, as I said before, we don't do it alone.
Nope.
Here we go.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Bianca. And good luck to you guys. Happy Christmas. You know, happy New Year. I hope that that everything on your side goes extremely well.
That's great. Thanks, Gareth, and to everybody at the Cliff Central family as well.
Cool. We'll be in contact in the new year as well.
Super.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
There's Bianca Berger. She's from Headway Gauteng. If you want to find out more, we will put all the information on our website, but you can also go to headwaygauteng.co.za to find out more. Or you can just email them, fundraising@headwaygauteng.co.za. They successfully hosted parties to thank their team at Headway Soweto on Wednesday, the 5th of December, Headway Hyde Park's end-of-year party on the 7th, and Headway Volunteers Function on the 12th. And now they're going into the festive season, and obviously there are so many people who are unfortunately going to need their help in the new year. So there we go. You can get involved. You can do something to help. You can make a difference. And who wouldn't want to do that? So, Ben, almost the end of the year. You're off to the Cape. We spoke about that a bit earlier on. Are there any important things you're going to be paying attention to in the news over the next few days? Or are you going to do a complete detox?
Trying so hard. Gareth, will be the first time away from my computer in probably the whole year.
Are you going to leave it at home?
Yeah, I really want to. I think I can. I'm pretty sure I can. There's a little bit of work that still needs to be done throughout the year, but it's just it's not completely my responsibility, which is nice. Just things I would like to check up on. So you still got to check emails from time to time, but no, I'm like, that's it. Downing tools.
Damn right.
Downing tools.
That's the way to go.
It's such a liberating thing to know that I can sleep a bit.
Downing tools.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a tool.
Sound like Kasatu.
Everyone's got a tool. My tool's a laptop, but I mean, everyone's got a tool.
Sure, of course. And 2019, and lined up any exciting things that you can't wait to get doing?
Yeah, just getting back to work, really. Just that's it. Like, it's been a very good end of year, and there's so much to look forward to and so much to do for 2019. And two big World Cup years, as I mentioned, the sport.
Oh, hell, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be all go, Gareth, from the moment I get back. It's going to be just as busy as when I left.
So, yeah, exciting things for you. And don't forget, we do have tomorrow's show. I'm not saying goodbye. We're not having these conversations because it's the end of the year for us, absolutely to the last day. But we are still doing tomorrow and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, tomorrow is the burning platform. We're going to do a recap of the year tomorrow. And I think we've got an interesting guest for you as well. That's a little surprise that we'll throw in for the burning platform tomorrow. Sia, what are you looking forward to in the new year?
I'm still going to sit down and note my resolutions down because I'm that person. As corny as it is, every single year I need my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
But I'm just excited to, I think we ended off the year, even just in my personal capacity and as someone who works, ended off the year in a good energy and a good vibe. I think like things were picking up and things were going well. So I'm just ready to continue that.
Yeah, I'm quite excited because as we said to Anthea yesterday, there are a lot of people who are quietly optimistic about what might happen in terms of our own economy here. It seems that there are a couple of signs of things going in the right direction. You haven't heard a lot of headlines about the finance minister, which I think should make you pleased.
Mm.
You don't want your finance minister in the news with dick pics and...
You don't want to see his dick either.
No.
I mean, there's also that.
Oh, guys.
You really don't.
I think I had like gotten it out of my head. And once again, we've just been pulled back to that memory.
Someone has sent us a version of Sia's song on video, which is him. It's Sia's head superimposed on an almost naked body with a pair of like tiny little short shorts and a pink towel between his legs.
Music video.
And he's pulling them. He's pulling the towel from, you know, like to the front of like his crotch area, and it's you, it's true. So Rewayne
is amazing.
Yeah, Rewayne, thank you. That's very cool. Rewayne says, and that's Woody, of course. Good morning, guys. Haven't listened in a long time, but I've never missed a show. So hasn't listened live in a long time. Hasn't missed a show. So thank you, Woody. We've always appreciated those funny things you send us too. How
that
nice.
That is perfect.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
All right, I've got a little story for you. What's the... they've discovered a new organ. What do you think it is? Human organ.
Human organ?
I mean, we've done autopsies in human beings.
What kind of people?
The scientists. They've discovered a new organ. It is something that's been there the whole time. We've just never really separated it out from other things as an organ.
Oh.
It's called the interstitium. And it is a shock-absorbing tissue underneath the skin, the gut, and the blood vessels. Been identified as an organ for the first time according to a new study.
Oh.
So if you're a doctor, then you probably already knew about this, but for the rest of us, this is news.
Shock
you know, your skin is technically your biggest organ because, of course, it covers the most area. It has the greatest mass. It goes all the way around you. It envelops you. It holds everything else together. But as part of the skin, this really deserves to have its own category, the interstitium. And the interstitium protects the organs, protects the muscles and the vessels that keep our bodies alive by absorbing bumps and shocks. Researchers think the layers of the body previously believed to be dense connective tissue are in fact interconnected compartments filled with fluid. According to the team co-led by New York University School of Medicine, the interstitium is an organ in its own right and one of the largest in the body. If the research, which has just been published in the journal Scientific Reports, is widely accepted, the interstitium could be regarded as the body's hominieth? How many organs do you think we have?
74th.
14.
See, it's not bad. 80th organ.
Oh.
80 organs?
We've got 80 organs, yeah. The research offers new insights into how our body ages, including our skin, the stiffening of the limbs, the progression of fibrotic, sclerotic, and inflammatory diseases. According to the team, the spaces that make up the interstitium were missed because scientists have relied on fixed tissue on microscopic slides to study human anatomy. The process of preparing tissue for examination involves draining away fluid and dyeing it, causing the meshwork to flatten like a pancake. So it's always been there. It's not as if we've suddenly developed a new organ, but it is called the interstitium. And happy interstitium Christmas.
Interstitium.
Isn't that good?
It's a nice word to say.
Yeah, it's a good one. You throw that in with a doctor and they'll know that you mean business.
Ooh.
Doctor, would you mind checking my interstitium?
Interstitium. I need to remember
put
that.
Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. All right.
Well, do you want to talk about, well, this time of year also comes with the pros and the cons.
All right.
And we're full swing into JMPD clamping down on drivers.
Oh, yes. Tell me more.
You're just the numbers alone over the last couple of days of November. The JMPD, the Johannesburg Metro Police Department, have said that over 800 people were arrested in the city so far for driving under the influence. And in the last couple of days of November, 11 people have died on Joburg's roads since the start of the holiday road safety campaign as a result of drinking and driving. And so drivers hitting the bottle before getting behind the wheel remain a major headache for law enforcement.
I don't know why anyone has to do that. I hate to sound like an old stick in the mud. I don't mind drinking and I don't mind people driving a little fast. I mean, I've been caught for that. If you can drive, don't be drunk, and if you can drink, try not to drive. The two don't go together so well. I don't mind them arresting all these people. Rather put them away. The rest of us don't need to be knocked over by them.
No, there's not this time of year.
It's really not cool. And I often feel like, because Ben comes here on a bike every day, right? And that's just, a bike is a death trap, because even if you're a responsible rider, you can't tell what the idiot in the car in front of you is going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's why I arrive at a different time to you.
Moving target. Yeah, you Ben tries to avoid the road when I'm on it.
No, you do drive for other people and not yourself. Because just even last week, Thursday, my father was in an accident. And now it's been revealed that it was actually a drunk driver who drove into him. And he was... It's so horrible that he was just a few streets away from home when this happened.
It's always like that, huh? And they say all these accidents always happen closest to home.
Yeah. So much so that it was actually my mother who woke up, because this happened at like 11 p.m. And my mother was woken up by the paramedics that were now on the road and the
bright
lights.
So that's how she found out it was your dad?
That's how close it was. And it was my dad in his rightful lane. And there was an oncoming car who was swerving all over the place. So swerved into his lane, and he was trying to not get into the way. So he drove into the opposite lane. And that's when this woman realized that she was doing something wrong, went back into her rightful lane.
No.
But it was too late. So half of his car is now gone.
Half of his car?
Yeah, the car's now written off because he, you know... Yeah, it's just horrible. I can't even describe it. But yeah, the lady drove into the passenger side of the car. And so that led my mother to another meltdown, saying, what if I was in the car? And now we can laugh at it slightly, but we are grateful that she wasn't. But, you know, horror story after horror story. And it's just about what do we all need to hear for us to start making better decisions. Interestingly enough, with this new release of stats that the JMPD has given out to the public, is that they themselves, as the JMPD, are dealing with a big number of drunk drivers internally.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how that's the thing. There have been 10 disciplinary cases just
reported last month.
So you mean
these are Metro Police who
Metro
are drunk?
Metro Police themselves who go out and drink and drive, which is, according to their numbers, a 50% reduction from October.
Wow.
So as of October this year, 60%... And there were 60% of disciplinary cases of drunk driving within the JMPD. I don't know what it is with South Africans and drinking and driving. But talk about calling the kettle black. Really, you're going to stop me for drinking and driving, and then tomorrow you've been called in at work because you do the same.
Oy, 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 oy. All right, so be careful on the roads. Like we've said that before, but there it is.
Well, interestingly enough, with the moving on to Gauteng police now, they have arrested close to 1,000 suspects for various crimes over the past couple of weeks in roadblocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, authorities really are gearing up for the season and getting a lot done in the past couple of weeks. And with the 1,000 suspects who've been arrested for various crimes, they've also recovered more than 8 million rands in counterfeit goods. What are people driving around with?
Yeah, well, this is what Mayor Mashaba was on about in the news. We covered this in our five things you need to know this morning. People have got so much Fong Kong shit. Because obviously this stuff is, it's cheaper, so you can find it more easily. It's available all over the place. People don't mind. You see how many people are wandering around with fake Louis Vuitton bags, and they've got this wallet that isn't the real deal, and they've got this cell phone which isn't the real deal, and people don't mind. Why? Because it's cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? You always get what you pay for. So the thing that I learned a long time ago is if you pay the actual price for the real item, it usually lasts longer. It usually is quality. And that thing that you think is such a cheap deal is exactly that. It's a cheap deal. It breaks, lets you down, wears, looks like crap after a couple of weeks, and then you've wasted money. So you'll go and buy another piece of shit. Eventually, when you add up the five pieces of shit that you bought, it's equivalent to one really good purchase, and you've wasted double the money.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to keep buying this cheap crap to kind of stay ahead of things. But SA in general, people are set to spend over 200 billion rand in the festive season.
Really?
Of which nearly 6,000 rand per person on average will be spent over the festive season. So that gets made up of gifts. Yeah. Gifts are looking to come out at like 1,232 rand. So you're under the average, Gareth.
Sure.
Entertainment comes out to roughly 667. Travel, which is obviously all your different commutes, about 1,663. And the biggest expenditure for South Africans over the holiday season will be food and drink.
Food and drink, yeah, of course.
2,174.
Oh, makes sense.
71% of South Africans are looking to have a braai on Christmas, which is really good. Because remember, we don't do turkey in this country. We shouldn't. This is Africa.
We don't have turkeys. They don't grow naturally here.
The sun shines and we drink and drive. That's the South African thing here.
You don't see turkeys growing out of rocks.
And no one cares about your Christmas jersey, which you're going to sweat like a prick.
I saw a guy wearing one of those the other day.
Like, it's funny, I get that, but ultimately always think Bill Cosby was the poster child for Christmas jerseys. He was. But Sia made a good point in the first hour. It's like, you know, his part of the family now, the siblings, it's about creating new traditions. So don't be scared just to put a chop on the braai. Basting a turkey. For who? For what?
Well, I do this annual Christmas party at my house where I invite maybe 12 friends and we do a Christmas dinner and everything else, but it's not traditional. So we don't do the turkey or the ham or anything. I save that for my parents. Love to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So they do that on the 24th, and then we do dinner there. But I'm having all these people around this week, and it's not traditional. We're going to do lamb, we're going to do salads, that kind of thing. Because it's summer. We don't want to have, you know, all that hot food that they have to eat in Northern Europe because it's freezing cold. Do it our way. Create your own. Like Ben says, create your own traditions. That's fun.
I don't know about you, but that was clearly an average. 600 rands for entertainment over December.
Yeah.
Yeah, but remember, that seems entertainment like means maybe little. Like food and drink is the big one. So for many people, that's entertaining to go out to eat, but that's the next thing. The 600 and 800, whatever it is, that's entertainment. So it'd be like movies or going to like theme parks or porn.
And okay.
Porn.
Okay. And I'd be interested to find out how much, you know, they say it's estimated that South Africans will spend 200 billion rand. I wonder how much of that is actually money we have.
Oh, obviously.
As opposed to, because, you know, we have a major credit problem in the country. So I wonder how much of that will be spent on credit cards. And now I went into one of the major grocery stores a couple of days. it wasn't even like a Saturday morning where you would expect, oh yeah, maybe they're doing these promotions because of, you know, it's peak season. I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. And they were, I actually remember counting, I was confronted by 6 people, and these were just promoters who were paid by the grocery store, 6 people to walk up to me and offer me a grocery,
a credit of some kind, like a voucher almost.
Yeah, it's one of those credit cards.
A credit card, yeah. I hate those. I hate those things.
And I think about how many people will, and no judgment here, will fall into that trap. You think about, well, now you have your nieces and nephews coming over and you have your extended family coming over and you want to host them, and then, oh, you'll just pass it off as, oh no, I won't overuse it. Meanwhile, 3 months later, you're now stuck in 10,000 rands debt that you didn't necessarily need to find yourself in.
Correct.
Yeah, so as much as it is the most wonderful time of the year, we're still preaching the same thing year after year,
which is just financial
responsibility.
And this has got a lot to do with just social pressure. We feel like we have to do it this time of year. Money isn't money anymore. We don't physically pay for things with cash anymore. We don't have it in our hands. So we're just swiping. It's like, oh, it's fine. It's happening. But unless I think we're a lot more sort of smarter than money when it was actually physically in our hands. We were just tapping things.
Yeah, and when you have that cash in your hands, you're a lot less likely to just give it away, you know?
Yeah, and because we've got to make decisions all day, every day about all these kind of things because we have an abundance of choice. People just, I'll just take that.
It's really funny and interesting how the little things, changing the little things mentally will change our psychology overall. You know, they do say if you carry cash as opposed to swiping, you'll be more aware of how you spend. I got some advice from a friend to, firstly, just the card that I carry around and use often, to not have all of my money in it. So I have various accounts where most of my money is, and the card that I carry around, I most only transfer. Yes, 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 darling, I'm sitting on millions.
Mine's got so much money.
Overwhelmed by the soul.
Sounds like you have so much money. Wow.
People refer to my money is that they have so much.
Yeah, it's my money, even if it's to rent. I've worked very hard for various accounts,
yes. You know, offshore and what.
But actually, whenever now I spend and I go out to a store, I calculate how much I'm spending and then I transfer that to that card. But even if I'm just spending 300 rands, to now have to go into an account and go, shit, like, I'm going to move over 300 rands. That's, you know,
smart. Yeah.
Did I really have to? Could I have saved 100 rand there? You know, all of these little things.
Yeah, I just done a similar thing for the next 10 days. I'm kind of sweating about that.
Oh, have you put yourself on a budget?
Yeah, I try to, but it's like accommodation really racks up. That's when you start spending big money. I'm thankfully going to be at my parents' place for like 4 days. Jeez, I'm going to appreciate that this year.
Yeah, so you don't have to, for that little bit of time, there's no accommodation costs, right?
I win.
Do you think a budget over Christmas works? Have you ever stuck to a budget?
No, but you've always got to have a budget. You always got to try. Because it's like, next month. But then suddenly your January is so screwed. Like suddenly you're taking on blesses and whatever.
Oh.
You don't want to put yourself in this position, Sia.
Are you speaking from it?
No,
Sia's definitely got to be
I think many people would have me. I'm bit over the hill, but you don't want a January blesses where we're getting at with all of this.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, but have you heard of the scandal? Chris Chameleon, have you seen what he's been saying about his
dad? I meant to talk about this. This is fascinating. All right, tell me something of you tell me something I don't know here.
Okay, first up, Bless Bridges. Okay. That oak was he threw the D around a lot.
Bless Bridges. Do you remember who he was? Let's just remind people of who Bless Bridges was.
He was a crooner.
Yes, that's right.
A lounge singer, a ballad guy.
He was a bit of a joke in his time because Bless really, people thought he was a bit ridiculous, except if you were an old Afrikaans lady, because he sang some pretty old school songs. He used to carry a rose around, give it to the lady in the front.
Yeah. He was like as old as the old school gets when it came to this schmaltzy kind of ballad singing.
Yeah. So,
but
it turns out,
so
it turns out that Bless, turns out he's Chris Chameleon's dad. And
if you look at Chris Chameleon, you think, yeah, I can see that. It's not a big stretch. Obviously, there's no proof just yet. And Chris Chameleon didn't say as much in this Facebook post, but he essentially had a album cover of Bless saying it's irresponsible that these big stars went around throwing their cock all around and not take responsibility for the offspring.
All the power in my life
So this is Chris Comedian's dad. We got to get him in the new year to talk about this.
Yeah, we do need a long interview about this.
Well, it explains why Chris is so creative, at least part of it.
Well, he can sing.
Yeah. Wow, there's Bliss at his best, hey?
Yeah, so Bliss basically sang his way into the pants of many women across the country.
Yeah, but this is Steve Hoffmeyer did the same thing. Exactly. This seems to be a very, like, top of the Afrikaans pops way to behave.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder about the big stars of the moment, you know? Great people like Kurt Darren.
Well,
Gotta ask a question.
That's another interview. We're not going to have any speculation around that. But Leonie Bridges, who of course was there when because Bliss died in a car crash back in 2000.
Yes,
sadly,
right.
He found the ditch and he died. And Leonie is very upset about this because she knows nothing of this. But then again, this is a woman who knew that Bliss was going away to Mauritius with Mariki van Heerden because that was a side chick and she was like cool with it.
Well, maybe she wasn't cool, but what was she going to do?
Gareth, she gave him she packed his bag for the holiday knowing that he was going away with Mariki. Yeah, that's the thing, huh? A little bit of festive season scandal for you.
Wow.
So Bliss was kind of like one of those evangelical priests.
Yes.
Although he wasn't peddling Jesus, he was just peddling whatever these songs were about, which were always about love and being this guy. And for many bored Afrikaans housewives, Bliss was it.
Yeah, he was. He was a very powerful personality in his time. People really did like Bliss. I feel like for Chris, he's been keeping this to himself for the longest time, right?
Yeah. Like, it'd be very interesting to see which Afrikaans man threw the D more. Steve Hoffmeyer, Bliss Bridges, or Sorrel van der Merwe.
Sorrel, of course, the racing car driver, yeah. Right? Yes.
I think all three of them were. Be a very interesting poll, I mean, if we ever knew.
Sure.
Survey a whole bunch of women now in their early 50s.
All right, Dean Buerta is on the line. Dean is obviously the managing director of Pride Factor, and with the year coming to an end, the enthusiasm of youth is still peaking. Pride Factor decided to run a fun and helpful campaign where people, small businesses, and everything in between can sponsor a child or a group of children to attend the online academy over the summer season and give themselves a leg up for kickstarting 2019. Also, you've got some personal news, Dean. I saw some exciting things going on in your own life, dude. I saw on Facebook. Congratulations.
Thank you very, very, very much. Yes.
Tell everybody, don't be shy.
Sorry?
Tell everybody what's happened.
My girlfriend of 2.5 years has officially become my fiance, and I couldn't be happier or prouder.
Nice. Dun, 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 dun. That's fantastic news. All right, good. Okay, so let's just quickly talk about what you guys are doing, this initiative to find out more about what exactly is going on with Pride Factor. And you are talking to us live from Cape Town. You want to, people want to get involved in how to sponsor a child's education. How can we do this?
Cool, Gareth. Well, yeah, thanks so much for that. We've grown substantially over the last 5 years, and we're getting more and more and more requests for more and more content from everything from financial literacy to the basics of entrepreneurship to the art of negotiating to how to present yourself to everything and anything. And a lot of these youngsters don't have the means to afford tertiary education or even online courses. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we've kind of partnered up. We've created a bunch of online courses teaching life skills, entrepreneurship, exactly the topics I just mentioned. They are aimed at teenagers, and then I've got a second group aimed at young adults. And we've now got a registration. We did a countrywide tour during August, and we've got roughly 750 youngsters on our books that are wanting to get the online content, but just can't quite afford the fees. So we've dropped the prices substantially, and we're kind of putting an appeal out there by, exactly as you said, why doesn't, you know, Joe Public or average person out there sponsor a couple of youngsters to attend the courses and therefore kind of end off their year with a bit of a feel-good campaign and most certainly create an opportunity and ideally change the life of a youngster in South Africa. And so far, it's been going extremely well.
Sounds terrific. How involved do you have to be, though? I mean, because a lot of people got so much going on in their own lives. They don't necessarily want it. You know, you don't want to climb in and get involved. There are those fantastic people, and God bless them, charitable people. But not all of us are that way inclined, but we still want to help.
Yeah, Gareth, easiest thing to do, send us an email, hello@pridefactor.co.za, and we'll send it through how easy it is. If you want to sponsor one youngster, if you want to sponsor 10 youngsters, it's entirely up to you. We can just send through an invoice, make an EFT, and then we make it available to the youngsters on our list. As far as it stands, we've had a lot of support from the likes of just small businesses, Event Chameleon, an events company in Johannesburg, The Rock at the Design Quarter, are always supporting us, Kahi Dental, Greg Secker from London. So a number of people have just come in and said, hey, listen, we'll pay for 5 people or 10 people. The courses are 199 Rand per person. Hmm. So certainly not breaking the bank there. And if you sponsor more than 10 youngsters, I will personally send you a one-of-a-kind Pride Factor cap, because I have 35 of those exclusive caps made. Oh, nice. So if you're looking for a contribution of over 2,000 Rand, I will courier a cap for you, just as a little sign of appreciation.
Nice. All right. Well, let's just talk quickly about what these life skills are, because you guys have got an online life skills academy. You have over 750 teenage and young adults looking for some way to make a difference in their own lives and other people's lives. The Academy has self-guided learning, 13-part video series, which can be assessed in real time online. So explain to me what some of these life skills are.
Okay, so we start with the teenager side of things. It's how to set goals. It's being aware of what you put on social media. It's understanding the importance of exercise and healthy eating. And then we get into young adults, where it is looking at how to save money, creating a LinkedIn profile, how to be ready for a job interview, how to plan your day ahead of you, how to apply for a bursary, how to open up a bank account. So we've done a research survey of roughly 4,000 students from Monash universities, and they basically gave us the 20 topics that they most enjoyed at university and the 20 topics that they never learned at university. And we've compiled those into little 3-minute, 4-minute videos that are, as you say, assessed in real time. So the video plays, it's the lesson, the video plays. At 1 minute in, it stops and asks you a question. If you get it wrong, you go back to the beginning of the video. If you get it right, you get a little gold star, and the video carries on going. So it's fun, it's interactive, it gets that sense of achievement at the end. All the beneficiaries will get a certificate of completion, and they'll also get a little PDF booklet, which we call the Lessons in Life booklet. That's 180 lessons in life, but again, things that you don't necessarily learn at school, Gareth, but you know, your mom, your dad, your brother, or your sister have taught you through time.
That sounds fantastic. Well done to you. What are you doing for the holidays, especially now that you're an engaged man?
We're going to do a drive around to go and see all 4 families, my mom, my dad, then my beautiful fiance's mom and her dad. So we're going the whole way up the East Coast and down. Well aware that these roads are a little bit hectic at this time of year, but also very aware that South Africa is the most beautiful country out there, and I can't wait to get on the road and go and see more of it.
Very, very good. All right, man. Nice to speak to you, Dean. Always good.
Gareth, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Keep well, dude. Cheers. There's Dean Boiter. Very nice. Just checking in on everybody to make sure that we've got all our ducks in a row for the new year.
Oh, very nice, Gareth. Very nice.
Maybe people want to help out. You know, there's a lot of goodwill in the atmosphere at this point.
Yeah, and if you wanted to do it throughout the year, but you've always been too busy, now you've got a little bit more time to focus on that. It does make you feel better.
Yes. You can be a nice person.
Yeah. Be the change you want to see.
Oh, look at
that's
this.
That's the one.
Oh, yes. This, now we're talking like Sid by Sia.
That's the headline.
Hey, Sia, what do you think?
Ben, I'll appreciate that coming from you. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm quite excited. So I had this whole vlog challenge this year to do my 100 Days to Better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to finish it.
What number are you on now?
We got some interesting... I didn't tell you this, Ben, but we got some really nice feedback the other day. I read it out, came in through a message from someone on one of the shows that you weren't on, just to say that 100 Days to Better was one of their favorite things about the year, and it made their year that much more successful.
Not very nice.
Not good.
If we just change one person's life for the better, the better.
There we are.
That's great.
Look at you.
But yeah, see ya. The first 90 are done. And the next 10 will go up on Instagram, and I'll finish off the final video on January the 31st.
Oh, wow.
With a big finish. Big flourish at the end.
I feel like I should challenge myself to something next year, but I don't know what.
2 years ago was your year of yes.
Yes.
What was this year again?
This year, well, it was just a personal
this
thing.
This year was yes, please.
All right. Yes. Go on.
This year was just to be more present in every moment. I was trying to do that a lot. So making more memories. I feel like sometimes we just whisk past, you know, we'll think back at a year and go, what exactly did I do? Or you try to even remember these mundane like dinners or whatever the case is. I really wanted to just be present. And so next year, I don't know yet. I don't know. I feel like I should set myself up for something.
Yeah, but it's good to have it because you're going to get busy, you're going to get distracted, you're going to get down, you're going to have highs and lows. But if you have that one thing to give you that focus, like I needed that this year desperately, and it really worked for me. So I highly recommend it. Really do.
Let me push for my first million next year.
Well, that's quite a lofty goal.
Hey, folks, if
that's
not, why
that's
not?
Very ambitious. Your first million?
My first million.
Hey, Sibs, have you got like a reasonable goal that doesn't involve your first million, like Mr. Warbucks over here?
Be happy.
Be happy is good. That's always a good
goal. Stressful. Stressless, I mean.
Stress-free, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it, because, you know, I stress about almost nothing.
Well, yeah, you're very relaxed. In fact, a lot of us could take a leaf out of your book when it comes to being relaxed. You don't let shit bother you, it seems. I mean, from the little bit I've observed of you.
Thank you.
No, you must teach the
See
rest
ya,
of us, please.
Please. You know, learn.
Bye.
Learn.
Goodbye. Remember, like, talking though about the first million, remember last week we were talking about how Beyonce did a private concert in India?
Yeah, in India for that very rich family. Yeah.
Ah, well, now finally those details have been revealed as to who these people are exactly.
But didn't we sort of Google them and maybe found out a little bit?
And now we know how much they've splurged on their whole entire festival of a wedding. So the person who got married is the only daughter of India's richest man. So already being the only daughter, tons of money is coming your way. And the celebrations took place just last week. And they casually included a private Beyonce concert in their lakeside palace. So listen to this. Her name is Aisha Ambani, and whose father is the tycoon Mukesh Ambani. And she wed Anand Piramal, who's a son as well of an Indian billionaire industrialist.
Oh, so they're not going to have huge problems, these guys. They're not going to be on the bones of their backside now. She's not going to have to lower her expectations because she's marrying someone poor, right?
Are you ready to digest more of this?
Yeah, come on, bring it on.
They got married in the Ambani's 27-story home in Mumbai. This house is the most expensive private residence.
I've read about
Buckingham Palace.
It's an apartment block, but it's in the middle of the squalid shit of Mumbai. I mean, who would want that?
How do you live in 27 stories?
Don't know.
How do you use that much space? Most expensive private residence bar the Buckingham Palace. So the wedding was days long. Yep. It started off at another palace of theirs in a desert state of Rajasthan, which that was where Beyonce performed, which is the bride's favorite singer. And some of the attendees include Hillary Clinton, former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry.
I mean, Hillary Clinton's going to a wedding of some rich dude. Isn't that worrying?
How are they tied in?
Yeah, how do they get it? What's the story there?
I don't understand.
Donald
that.
Calls her Crooked Hillary, pitching up at rich people's weddings.
Understandably, dozens of Bollywood stars attended, and even Sachin Tendulkar was part of the crowd there.
You've got to have actual deities.
So because the actual deities?
He's a deity.
So because the wedding was all over the place throughout India, there were chartered flights which were booked out for all of their guests, and also a fleet of expensive cars. So if you're one of the guests, you did not have to worry about anything at all.
Did they have their own airport though, Sia, for guests?
Well, they actually took over a normally sleepy airports, so it's not really used that often. And they took over.
Like Mumbai's Waterkloof, basically.
But not like a government facility like Waterkloof.
You notice how when like rich people say, oh, we just use a sleepy airport.
What they mean is it's a state facility in the Gupta case.
Exactly.
That's how they describe their words, not mine. Waterkloof's
a sleepy airport in commercial terms?
Well, they don't do very many commercials. It's a government facility. It's a national key point. That was what the whole controversy was about.
Exactly, being called a sleepy in those terms. Though.
Yeah.
Well, the first images of this wedding that we got were tons of people just blocking the street outside their home. That was where there were estimated numbers of 5,000 people who just wanted a glimpse of the couple or to be part of the festivals. Mm-hmm. But it was only just 600 close friends and families and some politicians.
Oh, just 600 of them.
Just casually 600.
Yeah, it's not that many.
Who were let into the house. By the way, the house is estimated to cost over $1 billion. And it was completed back in 2010. Jeez. My mind just hurts from all of these figures. You know, there are just the likes of $15 million cashed out for this and $100 million cashed out for that. The couple got engaged in Lake Como in Italy back in September. And now their wedding just brought together two of India's biggest industrialist families. Mukesh Ambani is the chair of a telecoms conglomerate, and he's worth about a cool $47 billion and recently overtook Jack Ma as Asia's wealthiest man.
Sure.
Just take a moment for that.
Crazy rich Asians, right?
Really?
There's an actual movie that I can't wait to see. I was talking about movies yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the Star is Born is superb. I haven't heard enough, but I heard a really good review from Dori here yesterday.
Mm.
She said it's fantastic. The other movie I've got to see, what was it?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
I gotta make time for that. It's 2 hours long.
So Bohemian Rhapsody, the song is like 2 hours long. Exactly. So yes, I think I can manage.
Yeah. Yo, I can't stomach that.
A part of me doesn't want to see it because I know it's just been a watered down crap version from Brian May. But you still kind of want to see it.
It's been sanitized, yeah.
Usually sanitized.
Okay. Well, like when something like that gets so many great reviews, though.
Yeah, but from a lot of people who maybe not know the full story of Queen, and that's exactly what it's there for. It's to be this nice snapshot of what the life was.
Do you think Freddie would have liked it?
No, of course not.
What makes you say that so vehemently?
Because it would have been so boring for him. The whole thing about Freddie was that his life was never going to be a long one. It was always going to be a spectacular one. So if you've got this nice, safe, middle-of-the-road kind of representation of his life, he'd be pissed off.
He would have wanted something more real.
Yeah.
Something more gritty, dirty.
True to his life, because that's always who he was. Like, he never really...
He was, you're right.
...complied to anything.
Yeah. Well, thinking about it, though, this is the time to binge-watch things, to catch up on all of the trends that people are speaking about. I'm just going to get into all of these books that are piling up in my house as well.
How many you got to get through?
Sure. Want to get through three. Realistically, I think I can get through three in a week.
I think that's doable.
Yeah.
That's not too hard. I've got... There's a book that's been sitting on my bedside table. I've ignored it for the longest time, so I'm going to get to that.
What is
it? It's called The Genius Test. It's like a book full of interesting things that come up in conversation that people throw around, like quantum physics or quantum mechanics. And it gives you an actual breakdown of what these things are.
Oh.
So it's like a no bullshit. You can tell if someone else is bullshitting.
The Genius Test.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look it up. It seems like a really interesting book.
Yeah, I've got... I bought a book on the way back from Cape Town on Monday. Alan Hale, the guy who was part of the Stunder Gang.
Yes.
It's called Bank Robber. I literally, while standing in that queue, which is always the longest queue in the world, I read like 20 pages. This book seems amazing. It's this whole very sort of candid tale about what really happened. And it starts off by saying the movie Stunder, which is a great movie, he said it's a work of fiction.
Oh, really?
It was made out to be that Andre Stunder felt so bad about having to go kill black people in the townships during apartheid. Therefore, he robbed banks. No, the guy was a prick. Oh. Basically, he was taking advantage of the sleepy system around. Obviously, whites could do no wrong. So he said that movie was basically a work of fiction. And he was kind of consulted on it, but they never really did what he wants to do. They kind of made up their own things.
There's
so
another,
this book's going to be a fascinating revelation around what happened.
Another history movie that's nonsense.
It's still a great movie, though. That's probably the best South African movie where Thomas Jane nails the accent. Okay. So good.
I've forgotten. I should maybe see that again.
That's disappointing. Talking about things to watch, though, I have The Clinton Affair recorded.
Why?
I am going to get
knee-deep
into that. And there's also a very cool docu-series.
I'd sooner watch Making a Murderer than anything with the Clintons. Just common people do stupid things.
This is the one we spoke about a few weeks ago with Monica actually speaking out, and that's getting great ratings in the States. So I said, I have to get into that. And then there's also a great docu-series on the Kennedys that's currently on DSTV. I think it's like 6 parts or 8 parts.
You could always get more Kennedys in my life.
Yeah, you always need to know what went on in that family. Also interested in that.
All right, so people who are planning a much more debaucherous Christmas, this is for you, all right? People who've got a filthy plan for Christmas. I mean, you can hear this is revolting. And go.
Have a pornographic Christmas.
Yes.
And when you walk down the street, make your stops at porno shops.
Yes.
And give yourself a treat.
Yeah, sure.
Have a pornographic Christmas.
Yes.
Take in a dirty flick. Watch him hump a smooth round rump while you play with your dick. Is hung with lots of meat. He sticks his dick into some chick. You stick to your seat.
Yeah, there we go.
Pretty soon you'll see the cum shot. It's the actor's biggest scene.
All right, I had enough of that. You don't need to listen to the whole thing, right? It's enough. How about this?
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a tab of yellow sunshine LSD.
Drugs.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 200 reds and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a lot of drugs.
4 grams of hash, 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds, and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 Valiums. 4 grams of hash, 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds, and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 joints of smoking, 5 Valiums.
Right.
4 grams of hash, 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds, and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 whites of buzzing, 6 joints of smoking, 5 Valiums. 4 grams of hash, 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds, and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD.
Sounds like a lot.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 spoons of snorting, 7 whites of buzzing, 6 joints of smoking, 5 Valiums. 4 grams of hash, 3 pounds of grass, 200 reds, and a tab of yellow sunshine LSD.
Not making sure. Year. Not making New Year at all.
You won't get to New Year.
No.
We'll even see Christmas at that point.
It. No, you're finished.
That's it.
All right, that's it for this morning, actually. We're out of time. We will be back tomorrow. Don't forget our latest episode of the Fluxman series for the Love of Law, where we take you to behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. That's coming up next. So stick around for your chance to get into a law firm and see it from the inside. It's really kind of spectacular to be able to get this kind of access. And that's what we try to do for you here. Bring you stuff that you wouldn't get anywhere else. All right, here's the unnews. Chris Chameleon has sent a shockwave through the Afrikaans music world by suggesting that Bless Bridges was his father. The singer said it was irresponsible that huge stars like Bless just hit it and quit it across the country in their heydays, and that they should take responsibility for their actions. On a related note, Steve Hoffmeyer just finished his Christmas shopping with 12 large trucks now fully loaded for Christmas deliveries to blonde, mildly racist children across the country. Jacob Zuma, however, has outsourced his Christmas shopping for his offspring to the ANC. The ANC is struggling with this reality, however, as such an exercise is remarkably more expensive than paying for his legal fees. And finally, Jose Mourinho goes into the festive season unemployed, and he's thrilled about it. He said he knows he now gets to enjoy rather the great British tradition of getting drunk and fat over Christmas with people he likes rather than staying sober with the ones that he doesn't. Who doesn't know how that feels? All right, we will see you tomorrow. Ben will not. Cheers, Ben. Have a happy holiday.
Bye, guys. Thanks. Very good. Seeing the new year.
Good stuff, and we'll catch you tomorrow with a burning platform and a whole lot more. Don't miss out on your chance to be a part of that. All of it on your way, right here on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.